great day of the Lord approaches, we who bear the burden of Adam's sin are prone to suffer Adam's curse. Adam's sin produces in us all sorts of ungodliness, the most vexing at times of which is fear. Fear of God, fear of our neighbor. Such a frightening condition manifests itself in many and various ways, but one particular aspect of fear is that it is always one of retreat. We don't want to lose. We don't want to be lonely. We don't want to suffer want. We don't want to feel anxious. We don't want to be without. But we just can't get past what's going on deep within. Such are the days of our lives, surrounded by thorns and thistles, outside of Eden and on this side of eternity. It's for this reason, beloved, that Jesus tells us another parable in our text this morning, namely that we see our place in his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is all about a giver of good things. To some, the Father gives good gifts fivefold, to others twofold, and even the least among us receive their portion. All is good because these gifts are given in grace. All is good because the giver loves those to whom he gives. You, beloved, are the object of his love. You are the recipient of his gifts. Each of you has received what you have. As St. Paul asks, what do you have that you have not received? And what have you done with that which you have received? For the Lord gives his gifts with a purpose. To work his love in your hearts, so that your hearts learn to love as he has loved you, that you are no longer afraid of him or your neighbor. And this love, once planted in you through the divine word, is given to be fruitful outside of you, expressing itself in love and good works. So the one who received five talents in the parable put those talents to work and garnered five more. And the one who received two talents put those talents to work and garnered two more. Each received 100% back, and both yielded the talents to their Lord upon his return, all of their talents, keeping none for themselves. But then there's the one who was afraid. He was afraid of his master, and so also afraid of his neighbor. Filled with fear, he dug a pit and buried his talent in the earth. He was afraid to lose it, afraid to use it, afraid to come out from behind the bushes and share his talent with those around him. He was afraid because he was unbelieving. His unbelief fueled his fear. His fear resulted in selfishness, self-preservation, and self-worship. He did not respect his master enough to obey him. He did not trust his Lord would be gracious to him. And so he buried his talent, kept it from his neighbors, even denied his neighbors the gift of grace their plight required, withholding the love needed to sustain his neighbor's dignity. Having done so, the one who was afraid is called to give an account. He must return his talent, having tarnished it with the earth's depravity. Fear and laziness are constant temptations for God's redeemed. Who among us today has not suffered the consequences of our struggle to believe, our own unbelief? Who among us has not withheld love from our neighbor? Who among us has not buried the gifts of grace our Lord has given us in order to preserve ourselves, sustain our lifestyle, protect our passions, even our hobbies or our traditions? Who among us hasn't declined to take up the cross and follow Jesus every now and then? And who among us has not tried to justify our disobedience to Christ and his word while feigning faithfulness to Christ and his word? I may not go to church, but I do believe in Jesus. I may be living with my boyfriend outside of marriage, but I do believe in Jesus. I may be drinking a little too much, a little too often, but I do believe in Jesus. And don't try to say, well, not me. I'm not like that. Just insert any one of your sins and add, but I believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there you go. You've buried the gifts of God in the earth, in this world, and its fleeting pleasures, and in yourself. This is disobedience. This is sin. This is old Adam using faith in Jesus to justify old Adam's behavior. And beloved, Jesus never justifies old Adam's behavior. And he never justifies your sins. Jesus justifies sinners. There's a difference. This difference proves God to be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. Jesus doesn't justify sins. He justifies sinners. Not the deeds, but the doers. His justification of the sinner does not allow for the justification of sins. Therefore, beloved, you and I are called to confess our sins. Repent of your sins and amend your sinful life. For on the day of our Master's return, you will be called to give an account. And what will you say? I did it my way, Jesus. You only live once, Jesus. Well, at least I didn't hurt anybody, Jesus. Or I was afraid. Jesus takes your sin very seriously. Jesus takes you very seriously. That's what love does. That's what love is. The gifts you received are given you in holy love. And these gifts have come at a cost. These gifts are given you by grace and received by faith, but these gifts were purchased with a price. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him doesn't perish, but has everlasting life. It is in the nature of love to give. Love gave Jesus the cross. There on the cursed tree, Jesus justifies sinners while justice is meted out in his body. See the cost of your eternity? Do you see the price of your disobedience? He suffers for sins committed by you and me. He hangs there where we should be hanging. Look upon the crucifix. Here is God's justice. Look, beloved, here is God's mercy. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here are your sins. Here's the cost of your justification. Here your life is redeemed. Here your debts are canceled. Here holy blood is shed to spare yours. Here suffering is endured for your sake, because that's what love does. Love suffers. That's what love is. Love is steadfast even in death. Here the cry of absolution goes out, and it echoes through time and space until it reaches your ears in the hopes of being planted in your heart. Here blood and water flows, and these give testimony that God is greater than your sin, greater than your death, and greater than hell. For in the death of Jesus, the Lord gives life to humanity. In his crucifixion, he gives cleansing to your souls. Hanging in your place, he hangs between you and the Father as one who has broken the curse by becoming a curse, as one who regenerated humanity by dying for humanity, as one who gives good gifts to men through the death and resurrection of this one man, this new man, this Son of Adam and Son of God. Jesus invests his whole person in the saving of his neighbors and saving you. And this salvation comes to you by grace. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. It was splashed upon you with water and the Spirit. It's pledged within you through body and blood, hidden under bread and wine. It's spoken to you from the shadow of the cross to the depths of your heart through the voice of a man into the ears that hear. The giver of good gifts buries his salvation deep within the believer through his word and his sacraments, and these plant divine favor and mercy on the inside, transforming the old into the new, crucifying Adam's descendants, and raising sons of God unto newness of life. This gift is given with a purpose. Jesus redeems you from sin, death, and devil, not so that you can run off and do whatever pleases your sweet little heart and makes you feel good. Jesus doesn't redeem you so that you can serve you, so that you can remain afraid of him and your neighbor. He doesn't make peace with you only to leave you to fend for yourself in this broken world. No, beloved, Jesus has redeemed you for his glory and his service in his kingdom and in his world. And so he calls his disciples to take up their cross and to follow him. There is no salvation apart from his cross. And there is no discipleship without following him. When Jesus calls you to follow, he's calling you to obey. Calling you to go where he goes, do what he does, love what he loves, suffer what he suffers, not to earn your salvation, but to work out your salvation in love and good works for your neighbor. So, beloved, as Christians, as his dearly loved people, gifted with heavenly gifts and justified through the death and resurrection of Jesus, you are now to be given to your neighbor. God gives his Son to you in word and sacrament, and so also he gives you to your neighbor in love and good works. And this love he gives takes away all fear and anxiety. Rather than retreating from God, we fearfully draw near in confidence of mercy. Rather than falling back from our neighbor, we're sent out with a spirit of power and love. Rather than wasting away in the leisure of our laziness, we're stirred up to keep watch for our brothers and sisters. Rather than drinking in the spirits of this age, we're sober-minded and not given to falsehood. Rather than arraying our bodies with the foreign attire of sin's intentional indulgences, we are clothed with the breastplate of faith and love, wearing as the helmet of salvation hope. Rather than grieving, we rejoice. For ours is a salvation given to us through the Son of God. Ours is a salvation attained by blood and sealed in death, buried for 3 days, but raised from the tomb. Our salvation is not a method or a means. It's not silver or gold. It's not a philosophy or even a way of life. Our salvation is a person, a man born of a virgin, crucified, died, and buried, and rose from the dead on the third day, and ascended to our Father's right hand. He is ours. And with him as our God, we are then given to our neighbor so that his gifts bear fruit in his kingdom. Beloved in the Lord, old Adam is always afraid. Afraid of God. Afraid of his neighbor. Afraid of cooties. And that fear comes between us. Hearts grow cold. And love for God and neighbor wanes. The soul then retreats further from both God and neighbor. Jesus teaches us in our parable this morning that every good and perfect gift comes down to us from our Father above. These gifts are all given in love and given to love others. Without the gifts of God, we would not know God, and we certainly would not even consider knowing our neighbor. With these gifts, with God's word, we find that his heart is a heart of mercy toward us, a heart of love toward us, and not one of anger or wrath. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this salvation is for you. This new life is for you. These talents are all for you. So take them by faith and use them in his service for them. God has given you good gifts, and these good gifts are given with a purpose, that having been loved by God, you love one another. Then, beloved, when that day does arrive, when the Master returns, you are called to give an account, and you give him all that he's given you. For what do you have that you've not received? And the one who justifies sinners will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God grant this for each and every one of us here this morning. Amen. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.